1970s when they start really opening up and trading. So everything before that time, and largely speaking, everything before the 20th century, was made by Japanese artists working in Japan. And of course, they chose Japanese subjects. And one of the favorite subjects was Japanese women. You know, Japanese women, particularly the more colorful Japanese women, courtesans, geishas, women who dressed in traditional costume. So they would make these fabulous images of women in traditional costume, and men too. You know, the kabuki theater was a great source, and kabuki masks and kabuki actors are really sort of strong looking characters. So they use those too. So the typical printmaker would use either a colorful Japanese character, man or woman, or a Japanese landscape, you know, and there's some spectacular images of famous Japanese landscapes, Mount Fuji, famous landmarks, you know, waterfalls and things like that. And then later on, after Japan kind of opened up, you find the printmakers going further afield. They come to the West. They still pretty much exclusively depict Japanese women, but they'll depict them in a more Western sense. You know, some of the images made in the 20s and 30s have almost a kind of Art Deco look to them. They're sort of influenced by the French a bit then. And you start seeing scenes like, well, one of my favorites is a scene of the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., which is not what you expect in a Japanese woodblock print, but there it is with cherry blossoms in the foreground. Spectacular thing done in the 30s. And in some respects, those more recent ones from the 1930s in particular are really interesting, and they tend to be what the collectors are focused on right now too.
Yeah, and what makes the collectors, besides the fact they're all stunning, of course, but are there any attributes some sort of characteristics that some of the collectors are really looking for in these pieces?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you know, some collectors are looking to collect the set, which you can do in other areas of collecting. And there are defined sets of Japanese prints. Some of the printmakers made, you know, a series of views. For instance, maybe they did kind of what the French Impressionists did. They did the same view different times of the day. So you may have a beautiful scene depicted five or six times, and that's the series. And some people want to collect everyone in the series. There are a series of views of Mount Fuji, series of different landscapes and such. But generally speaking, collectors tend to focus on one thing or another. So there may well be collectors focusing on Japanese women, focusing perhaps on one artist, focusing on one subject, maybe, you know, ships or something like that, fish. But above all, collectors look for something in good condition. You know, there's not much response to Japanese prints that are in poor condition. And most of them are. You know, you line up 100 Japanese prints and they're 100, 200 years old. The overwhelming majority of them, the corners are rubbed or they're cut down or the colors are faded. So what makes this collection stand out, apart from the just breadth of it, is how good the condition is. They're really, really strong, these. And that's attracting a lot of interest. I lost you there. I can't hear you. Sorry, I think you're muted.
Is there a favorite one of yours that you, or a collection that you particularly like?
I could pick about 20 of them, but I mentioned one earlier, which was the view of the Washington Monument, which is, the Washington Monument is a spectacular thing in the first place, and it's just so unexpected to me to see a view of the Washington Monument done by a Japanese printmaker. I think it's lot number, let me see, 174, is it? Yeah, no, 166, by an artist called Kawase Hashui. And I think that's really my favorite. It's so pretty, it's so delicate, so beautiful. And it just has everything that, you look at it and it kind of makes you happy. And anything by Hasui, I think, is good. But I could say I could pick 20 of them. They're so strong.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're beautiful pieces. That's why I wanted to speak to you about it, because I thought they were stunning. And I feel like a lot of people in America in particular, we see them hung, or we see them someplace an establishment, like some universities. I've seen them in libraries or some like Ivy League schools and some of the places, but I haven't heard about them in the media for us as much as I've been seeing a lot of some of the contemporary artists. So for us, we really delve into the Asian culture. We really love it. And we work with a lot of brands, of course, from everybody from Lexus to Toyota to Infiniti, all the Japanese brands. So for us, you know, I just really wanted to speak to you about that. But really, really, what really gathered our, what really garnered our attention, rather, in our hearts, was that you guys are doing this for charities. And can you explain to us about the charities besides Red Cross? I think Purple for Pets, or can you speak about those organizations?
Yes, that's a very good point, actually. And by the way, we love what you do. And you should also know that even though Japanese printmaking is a very traditional art in Japan, and as I say, it goes back over 200 years. It's popular today among young collectors partly because it connects to anime art. You know, yes. Anime art is perhaps the single most popular in terms of growing collector area of interest right now. Heritage Auctions sells a good deal of anime art. We have an office in Tokyo, which is at one level devoted to anime art and the collectors over there. And much of that is actually inspired by Japanese woodblock printmaking. But yeah, no, that's a very good point. All of this comes from one collection, and it's, by the way, it's part one of three auctions we are dedicating to Japanese prints. The next one's in September, then again next spring. And all of the proceeds from this estate, it's the estate of a woman named Ruth Nelkin, who was a New York City-based collector of all sorts of things, prints, many other kinds of objects. We're selling her entire estate. She decided to give everything to her favorite charities, and there's a number of them represented in this estate, and how the estate will divide it up, we don't know. But they're all going to great charities, some devoted to pets, some devoted to the general ecology of the world, and it's really refreshing, and it's good for the bidders to know, I think. There's a certain righteous feeling if you're buying something to know that it's not, the money isn't going to one person somewhere. It's going to be spread among a lot of good causes.
Yes, yes, I saw that.